Okay, everybody, how is everybody? Everybody having a great night? Great day? Okay, very good. It's a good day in the neighborhood. So it's my wife comes. Oh, she was cranking today. She was at sex slavery houses today where they have rescued women from sex slavery. And also is in an orphanage today of about 75 children. They actually have what's called the open door, where they have a door, a little door that locks behind itself, and they have dropped over 1,000 children through that door. Take brand new babies, instead of throwing them in the garbage cans where dogs will eat them and stuff, they actually put them right in the door, and these people raise the children and put them through school and put them into college and stuff. And Rhonda met this girl today who was sold to sex slavery at 5 years old, was in sex slavery for 14 years. And now she's out, and she's she's doing great. Rhonda says she's doing really, really well. So they also went to a squatter's camp. Has anybody ever heard of a squatter's camp? Has anybody ever seen a squatter's camp? Until you see a squatter's camp, you can't understand a squatter's camp. Ithaca definitely does not count. A squatter's camp, like in South Africa and also in Mexico, what you find is like it literally is almost as large as horse heads. And it's all boxes, tin little houses where 5-6 people live in this big of a spot. So it's just really normal. There are dogs running all over the place. And Jade, right up the road from Jade's house, there's a squatter's camp. It's not that far. It's going right into town. Fall. It's going right in. No, I didn't. I just said that there is this spot. It is true. It's absolutely true. I saw the size of it today, and it's bigger than horse heads. Yeah, there are a few locally, but mainly under the bridges. But, you know, out there, it's really, I'm not even kidding you. The one today was about the size of horse heads. It was just huge. And she went in there, was preaching the gospel. So she's been very busy. Tomorrow's like half a day. They get to relax a little bit. And then she'll be on the airplane tomorrow night about 8 p.m. So she'll be home Thursday morning. Yahoo! I get to get fat again. All right, we've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to welcome everybody online. Hello, can you wave at me? I can't see anyways. Okay, so we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and they're broken into 3 categories. How many remember the categories? Verbal gifts, knowledge gifts, and power gifts. So the 3 knowledge gifts are the word of, the discerning of, very good. For those who are fresh in the class, there are 3 knowledge gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. There are 3 verbal gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Then there are 3 power gifts. Gift of faith, gifts, everybody say, very good. Gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. So let's go through them. Are you ready? Is everybody ready? We got it? Here we go. The 3 knowledge gifts, the word of, discerning of, 3 verbal gifts. Very good. There are 3 power gifts. They are. You hear everybody? They get to the power gifts and they can't even get through them. All right, let's go through the power gifts one more time. Ready? Gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Ready? Gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Okay? So let's start at the top again. You ready? I want to hear you online now. You need to write it. You need to write it. At least you're going to do something. Here we go. Ready? 3 knowledge gifts. The word of, who said knowledge off the bat? Aunt Queenie, you behave yourself. Here we go. Ready? Three knowledge gifts. The word of, discerning of. Oh, come on now. Three verbal gifts. Tongues. And, very good. Three power gifts. It is the gift of, the gifts of. Did I spit on you too? I'm sorry, man. I guess. Spit on him. Okay, I just went up my nose. Okay, so let's do the power gifts again. Ready? Gifts of. Just, you notice I came on this side for the gifts part? And the working of miracles. Very good. Yeah, I know I would get your anger. They used to call it the spit zone. It's a dangerous spot. One time I was preaching in Tennessee, and all of a sudden I walked by, and these teenagers were there in the morning service. So in the night service, I'm starting to walk by preaching. They all had notebooks, and they went. I said, all right, I got you. Okay, so we've been talking about the gifts, how they're grouped. We started talking last week about the word of wisdom. Very good. What is the word of wisdom? A little bit of knowledge about someone's future that you personally could not know about. So the word of wisdom is a what? A bit of about somebody's that you could not. Very good. So that is all of a sudden you look at them and you know. You look at them and God gives you just a flash or an understanding of where they're going to be in the future. You know, I look at people, in fact, even in the tank on Sunday morning, I looked at somebody and I just knew there's a call of God on their life. So I was able to look at them and start talking to them about what their call was. I remember I looked at somebody else and I could see the wounds. In fact, I actually saw a father that was abusing the girl. I saw that in my eye. I saw a father hitting a child, hitting the little girl. So I looked and I said, you've been abused by your father. And she just started crying. And I said, I want you to know that Father God won't do that to you. And automatically, you start seeing the healing come. So those are word of knowledge. Okay, so the word of wisdom is a bit of information about somebody's that you could not know about. The word of knowledge is a little bit different. The word of knowledge is a bit of information about someone's past or present revealed to you that you could not know. So the word of wisdom is future. The word of knowledge is past or present. Now, the word of knowledge is very interesting because it comes in so many different areas or different ways. I want to make sure I'm not jumping too far here. And let's look at what Jesus activated them in the word. John chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. And the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I might not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Here's the word of knowledge. And Jesus said to her, "You have said that right. You have no husband, for you have had five husbands." Woo, chicky. "And the one you're with now is not your husband." There's no way Jesus could have known that. That's called a word of knowledge. So the word of knowledge is a bit of information about someone's past and or present that you personally could not know about. Now, it's not just information, but it could also be about where they're sick or trouble that they've had. Like in the past, like I said about that one young person that I could tell that had been, I saw it in my spirit, that they had been abused. Now, this is where we talked about last week about the senses in the spirit. We talked about we have five senses in the flesh. What are the five senses? You can see in the spirit. I'm sorry, you can see, you can smell, you can taste, you can touch, and you can hear. Those are your five physical senses. Your spirit man has six senses. You can see in the spirit. You can hear in the spirit. You can smell in the spirit. You can touch in the spirit. Now, I'm going to get lost now. What's the last one? You can, no, not that. I'm missing one. You can touch, was it? Taste. I already did that one, I think. So there you go. You can hear in the spirit. You can see in the spirit. You can taste in the spirit. You can touch in the spirit. And you can smell in the spirit. Did I say smell? Okay, you got all five of those. The sixth sense that you have in your spirit man, remember, your spirit man is the real you. Your physical body is nothing more than just a house that houses your spirit man and your soulish man. So your physical senses are important. We need them, yes? Correct, amen. And your spirit man, though, has the sixth sense called the knower. And what happens is the gifts of the Spirit are always activated through your spiritual senses. So there are times that I've watched Brother Ted Shuttlesworth prophesy, and he'll speak about what's going to happen this year. Now, I've never seen him prophesy. Listen, I've been with him many, many years, since 1986 is the first time I've ever seen him. So that's a long time. That's more than a week and a half. In all those years, every prophecy that he's ever given, not one has ever been wrong. Not one. And in the spirit one day, he starts talking about what God is going to do that year. There's no way. But I asked him how he was able to, you know, see that. And he said, I literally see that. Now remember, God's always going to use one of your senses, your spiritual senses, to reveal the spiritual gifts. So if you've never been aware that you have spiritual senses, then you've never worked them, grown in them, paid attention to them. It's almost like you trip over them more than you do anything else. You've been in church and all of a sudden you feel God touch you. That's the spiritual sense receiving the touch of God, yet it will be manifested in your tangible body. Or all of a sudden God will whisper in your ear. He's not whispering in this ear. He's whispering in your spirit. Or all of a sudden you're having a dream and you can see things. Can see the dream. That right there is not done in the flesh, that's in the spirit realm. You have to pay attention to the spirit man that you have. And because we've never trained, most churches never train anybody about their spiritual man, then we don't really know. We kind of just think things happen. We're not even sure how they happen. But remember, if you're not sure how something happens, you can't reproduce it. If you're not sure how it occurs or how it manifests or how it works within your life, then it's always accidental. Now, I took the lid off in my room, but it would have been a great example. This is water. Is that correct? This is a bottle. Is that correct? This is called bottled water. Okay? Now, if I was thirsty, I would want a drink. Is that correct? So I'm going to have some bottled water. Not working? No. I mean, I can suck this bottle all I want. How much water am I getting? Nothing. Until somebody teaches me that there's a cap on there and I twist the cap and take it off, I can't get the water. But now that I understand how to get the cap off, I can get to the water. I can quench my thirst. It's the same way in the spirit with learning how God uses your spiritual senses. Until you're taught to know that they're there, you don't pay attention to it. So you're sucking on the bottle, and you're not getting any water. You're not having anything happen strong in your life. But now every one of you realizes you have six senses in your spirit man. And all of a sudden, the gifts of the Spirit are going to touch maybe your sight, maybe your spiritual hearing, maybe your spiritual taste, maybe your spiritual sense, maybe your spiritual touch. Maybe you're just your knower, where you don't even understand how you know, but you just know. Those spiritual senses are more real than your physical senses. Your spiritual senses can never be taken away. They can never be lost. They can be dormant in the aspect of not knowing what they are or how to flow in them. But they're always there, and especially when you're born again. In the flesh, you can lose senses. How many of you can't smell? So if someone passes gas near you, no one knows. How many can't taste? Can't taste or smell? Dude, I'm going to pray for you tonight. We're going to get you. There are senses. And how many of you can't feel, maybe on certain parts of your body? Maybe there's something you can't feel. Fingers, toes, nose. You can't feel your thumb? Gone? Is it there? It's there, you just can't feel it. So if I hit it, it wouldn't matter? My father-in-law, so I'm trying to figure this out, how I can abuse him and not get hurt. You cut it with the saw. So your physical senses can be hindered or halted, but your spiritual senses cannot. You can only increase them. So the more you pay attention to your spiritual senses, the actual more you become sensitive or more really aware that they're there. The more you're aware of your spiritual senses, the more you'll step into moving in the spirit realm. Now, I want to remind you, don't look at the things which can be seen, for the things which can be seen are temporal. But look at the things which cannot be seen, for the things which you cannot see are eternal. Whether you realize it or not, how many of you love the Lord tonight? Not everybody. Kumbaya, my Lord. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Amen. If you love the Lord, the Bible says that his angels surround you. You don't have one angel. Well, I have a guardian angel. That's baloney. I don't know where you learn that stupid stuff. But you don't have a guardian angel. You have at least four. So if the angels surround to protect you, you have at least four. And when we look at the children of Israel, you know, the children of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant was surrounded by the tribes of heaven. So here we have, listen now, it's so important to realize you have at least three or four angels. Now, if you have three or four angels, we're a little low tonight, but let's just say we're about 40 people. If you have three or four angels, how many angels are in the room if everybody has three or four? What's that? 160. So we have 160 angels in this room right now. Now, on average, when people have seen them, they're about 9 feet tall. That's stinking cool. That's like halfway up because this is a 18-foot ceiling. So there are 160 8-foot-high angels in this room. And some of you need to push over because it's crowded in here. You can't see them physically, but it doesn't mean they're not here. The Bible says they're here. The Word of God declares they're here. What you cannot see is more real than what you can. You put so much faith in the chair you sat in tonight. How many of you, when you sat down, I hope it holds me, I hope it holds me, I hope it holds me. Jesus. When you sat down tonight, you didn't even think about it. You just sat down, boom, you're sitting down. You put so much faith in the temporal, but you pay no attention to the eternal. And as believers, we need to become more heavenly good than earthly good. That means we need to start paying more attention to the spirit man. And the gifts of the spirit work through the spirit man. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom works through the spirit man. Where all of a sudden you can actually, you'll see the future. You'll actually know the future. I remember one time, I just knew. If Pastor Chad at that point in time, we went on a camping trip, and I knew, the Lord just showed me in my spirit, that if he grabs a hold of a knife, because how he used to chop wood at the campsite, I knew he was going to cut a finger off. I saw it. I looked at him and says, man, you're not allowed to touch a knife the whole weekend. Well, that's stupid. I said, you'll cut your finger off. I'm telling you right now. And he just thought I was just saying, you're going to cut your finger off. No, and I saw it. He'd cut his finger off if he would have played with that knife. And you see, God will show you futuristic things to pray and to stop something from happening. The word of wisdom is powerful because God will actually use you to change the future. It's really awesome. You need to realize how powerful you are. You can call those things which are not as though they already are. You can actually shift history before it actually happens by getting a word of wisdom about something futuristic, and God will have you pray and actually steer it. So you have to pay attention to this. But you can't pay attention if you're not paying attention to your spirit man. So paying attention to your spirit man is imperative for you to be able to start learning how these things flow in your life. So like I'll stand up there and I worship at home just as much as I worship here at church. And I'll just be in my man cave lifting my hands and all of a sudden I'll just feel the presence of God come on my physical body. Today actually I was coming out of Fairview Lane and coming on to Breezeport Road. And I just felt the Holy Spirit I just started to laugh a little bit. Because in my spirit, I just felt, whoosh. And that wasn't in my physical body, but that was in my spirit. And the joy of God just caught me real quick. And I started chuckling and saying, I love you. I love you, Holy Ghost. Thank you so much. Because he's right there. You know what I mean? And where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Inside of you. So the manifestation will show forth in your natural man, but it actually comes through your spiritual man. So there's a necessity to start understanding, and some of you, I know I'm talking a little bit over your head. You're okay. You'll learn this, but if you never hear it, you'll never learn it. So you'll catch it as it keeps coming. But there's a need to pay attention to your spiritual senses and asking the Holy Spirit to make them more sensitive and more aware. Because the more aware you are of your spiritual senses, these gifts will start to flow more. So the word of knowledge, Jesus right there, he just had his knower working. The knower was, you've had 5 husbands and the dude you're with now is not your man. I mean, that's the knower. The next one we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 16. And the next day as they went up on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went on top of the housetop to pray at about the 6th hour, which is about noon. Is that 6 a.m.? No, I don't remember. I should know my Bible timing. Then became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they were ready, he fell into a trance. Now, what does that mean? The trance isn't like, the trance is all of a sudden, boom, you're in the spirit. Your spirit man is more aware, seeing-wise, than your physical man. So all of a sudden, what happened was what he saw in the spirit was more real than just him being up on the roof. So it was almost like a movie reel coming on. And he could start seeing these things in the spirit. So what did the Lord show him in the spirit? The Lord showed him and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound on all 4 corners ascending to him and let it down on the earth. And in it were all kinds of 4-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him. Now listen now, where is he hearing this? If it wasn't an audible voice, it was a voice into what ear? Spiritual ear. So we didn't see that anybody ran up and go, hey, did you hear what God told Peter? No, he was in the spirit. All of a sudden he was, boom, what he could see in the spirit was more real than he could see in the natural. And then God spoke to him, to his spirit man, and told him not to call these things unclean. So all of this are spiritual principles. All of this is all of a sudden God revealing to the spiritual senses what the physical senses can't grab a hold of. Then the Lord spoke to him and told him, listen, God cleansed you from verse 10, verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, the what? The Holy Spirit did what?
Hey, Peter!
Probably not an audible voice. So what ear is he hearing? You know, the book of Hebrews says that many of the believers are dull of hearing. Isn't that interesting? It means you don't hear like you used to because you're not paying attention to your spiritual man. Yeah. It's like hardness of hearing. Isn't that cool? So all of a sudden, Peter's sitting there, he's thinking about the vision that he just saw, so that means he's now back in the natural. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit spoke to him and said this, ready? Behold, 3 men are seeking you. That's a word of knowledge. He could not have known that those men were seeking him. He could not have known that they were going to get ready to knock on the door, but the Spirit spoke to him and said, there are 3 men looking for you. Go with them. That's called a word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is given through the 6 senses. Now, I remember this one time. I was in my first church. I would pray, because I didn't have a man cave. I would pray. Now, my man cave, I just need to let you know, has been occupied by a chipmunk. That chipmunk will not go into those rat traps for no, I've got peanut butter on there. I've got seeds on there. He eats the seeds from around it, but he will not go in that rat trap. You know what I bought? I bought a Red Ryder today. I might poke my eye out, but I bought a Red Ryder. I'm going to park that thing's ears tonight. I walk in the man cave, and you know what he's doing? He's sitting on my couch staring at me. And that's not even a joke. That's the truth. So one day I'm praying. It's about 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm praying. I at that point, I was walking around the dining room table. And all of a sudden, in my spirit, not my physical eyes, it was dark outside. In my spirit, I saw a man from my last church. He was in the back of a pickup truck, drinking a Budweiser, looked up to heaven and said, "God, are you really real?" So I called up Brett. I waited till morning. Called up Brett and I said, "Hey, Brett, were you in the back of a pickup truck last night drinking a Budweiser, looking up to heaven and saying, 'God, are you real?'" And he said, "Where were you?" I wasn't there, but God was there. And that word of knowledge brought Brett to the house of God, where he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of knowledge is powerful. It's a bit of information about someone's past and or present that you personally could not have known about, that God wants to reveal to you to share with them so that they know that God loves them. You can't deny that. Brett could not deny that I heard from God. I wasn't there. I didn't know where he was, but I saw exactly what he saw. One time I was praying. I was at a hotel room, actually. I was on the road doing some evangelism, and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit revealed about a person that he didn't tell me the details, but he said, "I want you to see this. I saw in the spirit," not in the flesh, because I was in a hotel room. "I saw in the spirit a china cabinet. It was oak, light oak. And down on the bottom left-hand corner was a locked cabinet. And I saw the key." And I called this individual up and I said, "You know, if this doesn't mean anything, just means I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you know. Let me tell you what I saw. Do you know about a blonde china cabinet? And down on the lower left-hand side, there's a locked door. And you know where the key is?" "Oh," he said, "that's my father's liquor cabinet." It's interesting when God starts revealing things. Sometimes you can see it. Sometimes you hear it. Sometimes you feel it. Well, if you've been here for any period of time, you've heard me give words of knowledge about someone's past and or present, about their sicknesses. About 3 weeks ago, I had a word of knowledge about somebody having pain from their ear all the way down their shoulder, all the way down to the end of their shoulder, their neck and the whole thing. Well, during meet and greet, I went out. I'm just shaking hands, and I saw a new couple. They had never been in church before. Walked over, shook their hands. She said, "How did you know?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "That neck thing." I said, "How's your neck?" She goes, "It doesn't hurt anymore." I said, "Well, of course not." I remember one time I was I had a word of knowledge. And this one was a little weird because I could actually feel it. And I felt a scratch right here. It was itchy right here. And I said, because I'm talking to the congregation at the same time, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I said, "What is that?" He said, "Tell somebody that they better get ready because there's fluid and it's going to be drained." I had no clue what it meant. Many times when I have a word of knowledge about someone's healing or about sicknesses, I have no clue. I don't know who it is. And all of a sudden, I said that somebody, whoever you are, you better be near a towel or something because, you know, whatever that fluid is going to drain. The next week, a man came to the church. He sat over on this side. He said, "Pastor, I just got to share this with you. It's a little embarrassing, so I don't want you to make it really public or anything." But he said, "You notice how fat I was last week?" And I said, what are you going to tell them? Yes? I mean, it's like, what are you going to say to her? Well, no, not really. But I mean, he had a big, it looked like a big beer belly. And he said he got in the shower on Monday morning and his stomach itched. And he reached down and he started scratching his stomach. And all of a sudden it burst open and fluid just started pouring out. They actually kept the fluid. He called his wife and they got a little bucket or whatever. And they kept the fluid because they were concerned. They brought it to the doctor and it was fluid buildup in his body. And he was healed from that moment on, didn't have another issue. I remember one time I just had a word of knowledge that somebody was constipated, and honestly, I simply said to him, I don't know who it is out there, but don't leave the toilet today. Don't go anywhere. Just go right home. God's setting you free. You'll be free by this evening. Sure enough, a lady went home. She had been constipated for over a week. She said she was all compacted. She was getting ready to go to the doctor the next day, and she said she has never gone to the bathroom that much in her entire life. Cleaned out one afternoon. I had a word of knowledge concerning, and this one I saw. It was a tumor on this side of the brain. And I said, there's an individual here with a tumor on this side of the brain. It was a young lady who had been going down to Pittsburgh. And what I didn't know is that she was going down to Pittsburgh because they had found a tumor. She was going down to Pittsburgh because she was like, she had weird things going on with her face. And actually, it was the same thing that Jade had, that she was healed of. And so she said, well, they found a tumor, Pastor, that's me. This was over at the school. And I said, great, God's going to heal you today. He won't reveal it unless he's going to heal it. Laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. She went back to the doctors the next day. They had pictures of the tumor from the first time she was there. And when they came in on Monday, they did all the tests, and there was no more tumor. God is able to do abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. Amen? So those are words of knowledge. So sometimes it's just you knowing, here's a word of knowledge, ready? Everyone looks normal. Everybody at work is cool. Everyone looks like everyone's all collected. Everyone's smiling. But the Holy Spirit says to you, just go tell them that I love them and that everything's going to be okay at home. You don't need to know the details. All of a sudden he spoke to your spirit, man. He didn't go, hey, go tell them. Because then you wouldn't need to because everyone heard it. But he spoke to your spiritual man, your spiritual ears, and he said, go tell them that everything's going to be okay. And I tell you, when you do that, all of a sudden, I've watched people literally break down. Brother Terry Shuttlesworth, a friend of mine, one day, he had gotten off the airplane. He had services going on, so he had rented a car. And the Holy Spirit said to him as he's working, you know, I don't know which one it was, Avis, we'll just say Avis, getting his car rental. And the Holy Spirit said, tell her that I love her and that I want her to come home. And he said to the Lord, no, I don't know her. I'm not doing that. So he didn't. He got out in the car and the Holy Spirit said, I told you, go in and tell her I miss her. I want her to come home. He got out of the car, walked in. Said to her, can I speak to you for a moment? She says, sir, is everything okay with your rental? He says, yes, but I just need to talk to you over here for a minute. It's a little bit personal. So he says, listen, I don't really know you, but I just want you to know the Lord loves you, and he misses you, and he wants you to come home. She went, ah! She started wailing out loud, he said. She dropped to her knees, and he's going, dear God, dear God, dear God. But what she was a backslidden Christian. And the Lord had been dealing with her to get her heart right. And she moved in with a man. And the Holy Spirit told her that she needed to get her heart right with the Lord. So she said to him, I'll come to church tonight after she comes. I'll come to church tonight. I'll bring my boyfriend. Brought her boyfriend. She got right with the Lord and he got saved. Amen? Word of knowledge is powerful. Oh, yeah. I remember the very first time I started to be used with the word of knowledge. Is actually right in this area, is in Big Flats. It was at a friend of mine's church over in Big Flats, and he invited me to come, and I've been praying that the gifts of the Spirit would start working in my life, and especially, you know, I love when God uses miracles and signs and wonders. So I was praying for gifts of healing and working of miracles, and I stood up there to preach, and all of a sudden, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, I saw the Pillsbury Doughboy. I know this doesn't sound real spiritual. But I saw the Pillsbury Doughboy, and I saw little red dots on the Pillsbury Doughboy. This is God's starting to introduce me to the moving of the Spirit. And he says, call out where those red dots are. And I went, all this is happening not here. I said to myself, I'm going to look really, really stupid. I said, does anybody have pain? And I went, started going through the dots on the body. And people are coming up. I said, dude. Then I started laying hands on them, releasing the power of God. And every single one of them got healed. That's how I started to get the introduction of him allowing me to see or letting me see in the Spirit. I started paying attention to the realms of the Spirit. Y'all need to pay attention to the realms of the Spirit. What you cannot see is more real than what you can see. Very good. Does anybody have any questions concerning the word of knowledge? The word of wisdom is a bit of knowledge of someone's future that you could not know. The word of knowledge is, did I say that right? The word of knowledge is a bit of information about someone's past and or present, present that you could not know. Does anybody have questions on those two words, those two gifts of the Spirit? On the words. You spoke too quickly. Do we have a runner tonight? Come on, run. He did put deodorant on it.
That's all right. I can't smell either. Me and her got that common. Oh. But anyway. I said not in the gifts of the Spirit, but when I've read the word, I've read that knowledge helpeth up, but wisdom counseleth. Counseleth us.
Knowledge is information. That's really what that is. There are people that have knowledge and are prideful in their knowledge.
The banker.
Right.
I'm with you.
But knowledge is very important. We all have to have knowledge. What wisdom is the ability to use knowledge correctly. There are two words for the word wisdom in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You see the word twice, but they're different words. The first word is the ability to learn from your mistakes and other people's mistakes. And the second word for wisdom is how to use knowledge correctly. So without knowledge, there's no way to have wisdom. So knowledge isn't bad as long as it's not sensual knowledge or knowledge where you think you're something. Knowledge is necessary, for without knowledge, you can't apply wisdom. You have to have knowledge to use wisdom. Wisdom is the ability and the understanding of how to use the knowledge. Very good question. Knowledge is power, because the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You got to have knowledge. That's what you're in this class for. Turn to someone and say, you are brilliant. You are, you're brilliant. This handsome group of young men in the front row hanging out with Ma, they could pass gas, you'd never know it. It's safe, guys. It's safe. Okay, is everybody okay with this, right? You know where you're at. The word of wisdom is a bit of information of someone's that you could not know. The word of knowledge is a bit of somebody's that you could not know, revealed to your spiritual man. Now, the third of the knowledge gifts is called discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is very, very powerful, because the discerning of spirits allows you to tell what spirit somebody is of. This is one that your knower gets used. Your knower is used. So there's three levels. You can know somebody in the spirit, know somebody in the flesh, or a demon activity. So there are three different things that will be revealed. The three spirits: the spirit of man, the spirit of God, and the demonic spirits. Demon spirits are very, very real. Y'all know that, right? The spirit of flesh is also very, very real. I remember one time I was a youth pastor at a church, and I walked into the kitchen because there was a lot of commotion in the kitchen. And these three older mature ladies, about Ma's age, were sitting on this seven-year-old's chest. In the name of Jesus, I command you, devil, to come out of this boy. And Jesus, they're casting out devils and everything like that. And as I looked at him, I says, hey, ladies, you know, he's not demon-possessed. He's just messed up. And when you come to understand, because he used to say, I'm going to kill you all. The reason he said that was because for a reward from his parents, I found this out later, reward from his parents, they allowed him to watch horror flicks. It was just normal for him to watch horror flicks and to, just respond with horrific responses from the horror flicks. He wasn't demon-possessed. He was a boy that needed his, he was messed up, given bad information. These three spirits are the discerning of spirits. The spirit of man, the spirit of God, and the demonic spirit. Now, how do you tell those? This is through the spirit man. This is through your knower. I remember one time I was at Bible school, and this girl walked up to me, and she said, hello. The moment she went hello, the hair on the back of my head, I had more of it then, but the hair on the back of my head went, ying. She's got a devil. And I didn't know anything more than that. I just knew that this girl's got demons in her. And so I said, well, I'm doing great. How are you? That afternoon, my roommate cast seven demons out of her. All I knew was, ying, ying, ying. Didn't know much more than that. Just, ying. Just knew there was a problem. That's the, you could recognize a demon spirit. Somebody will walk up to you, and you don't even have to do anything. You just know something not right. Oh, 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 I don't know what it is. You just know. That's your knower. Or somebody's acting spiritual, and you just look at them and go, you're a fool. I remember this one kid in Bible school. Oh, my goodness. A mighty move of the Holy Spirit was happening. Now, at that time, our preacher was really, really old. Uncle Bill, we called him. Bill was probably 76, 77, talking about really, really old. Oh, that's right, you're 80-something. I forgot you're not the oldest. I forgot you are the oldest one here. Uncle Harold's 83, I think, right? Yeah, 83. Better shape than most of you 20-year-olds. Yeah, I'm not arguing. So, Uncle Bill's story out. So all of a sudden, the move of the Holy Spirit's happening, and the joy is starting to hit parts of the congregation. So people are laughing in the Spirit, just really awesome. Yeah, I mean, it was the first time I really started experiencing some of those things because I came from a very quiet, dry church. And all of a sudden, this kid from New York City just started, he jumped up. Hallelujah! And he ran to the wall and jumped on the wall and ran back. Ran back to the other wall, hit the wall, jumped around, ran back. Woo! And, you know, got my attention. But all of a sudden, I started watching Uncle Bill. He got off his chair, and the pulpit was this low. Watching the kid run back and forth. All of a sudden, the kid gets about here, and he drops on the ground, and he starts to roll. He jumped, that old man jumped, landed right on the kid's chest. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, you spirit of flesh. You're not of God. You're not a demon. You're just acting like a fool, and I command you to stop it in Jesus' name. I went, whoa, this is going to be a great day, man. This is going to be an awesome day. He just rebuked the snot out of that kid. He was so mad he ended up leaving the Bible school. But it was so funny because he wasn't glorifying God. He was trying to bring attention to himself. That's the spirit of man. And then you can just have somebody walk into your presence and you know they're born again. You don't know how you know they're born again. You just know they're born again. How do you know that? Your knower, that's discerning of spirits. So these are the three layers that you'll see. The spirit of man, the spirit of the demons, or the spirit of God. Now, there are different levels of discerning of spirits. Everybody say there are three levels of discerning of spirits. The first level of discerning of spirits is the Word of God. The Word of God will discern whether somebody is of the flesh, whether somebody is of the spirit, or whether somebody has a devil. How do we know that? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The character, the nature, the personality of the Holy Spirit. But just before that in the book of Galatians, we have a whole other section called the Spirit of the Flesh. And it brings a whole list of the sins of the flesh that are in there. One of my favorite ones is pharmacia. Anybody ever heard of pharmacia? For everybody who likes to smoke weed in the house? Online, that's why you're not here. You're smoking weed at home. I don't know. It's a word of something. I could have been prophesying right there. I don't know. But what I know is, like, the word pharmacia is where we get the word for pharmaceuticals. The Bible says that actually the word that you see in your Bible is called witchcraft. The word witchcraft, when it brings down the Greek, it's called pharmacia or drugs. Because you'll find drugs are always the open gate for the demon spirits to start working in someone's life. Why he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up means protect it. That's why you have the helmet of salvation on. Protect your mind. We know where the real battle is. Where is it? In your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, taking into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. So all of this is where, listen now, the sins of the flesh are described. And then we also know how to recognize demon spirits when they're in the Scripture, because the Scripture talks about Jesus casting out demons and how Paul cast out demons. So the Word of God is the number one value, the number one level in learning discerning of spirits. And the verse is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow. Talk about spirit, soul, and body, trichotomy of man. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the more you know the word. Some lady came up to me one time. She said, Pastor. Now she was a mother of four. Pastor. The Lord spoke to me. He did. I was in prayer. Hallelujah. God spoke to my heart and he said, leave your family and go on the road as an evangelist. I said, oh, honey, that's the wrong spirit. You can't tell me that's the wrong spirit. I know the Spirit of God. I said, honey, but that's against the Bible. The Word will always bring discernment. The Spirit of God cannot go against the Word of God, or the Spirit of God is a liar. Which means God can't be God, for God cannot lie. So everything we say or do has to be sized up with the Word of God. So the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God is the first layer of discerning of spirits. The word discerning means understanding, a knowledge of, understanding. So the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will bring an understanding whether somebody is of the spirit, flesh, or demonic. The next layer of discerning of spirits is the layer to where you can tell what spirit somebody is of. Now, negatively, we see that in Acts chapter 13, 9 and 10. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O, full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil. That just makes me happy. You enemy of righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? So he had this guy come up to him, and he wanted the gifts of the Spirit. So he looked spiritual, sound spiritual, and Paul looked at him and knew he wasn't spiritual. In fact, he called him the son of the devil. That's discernment. Second layer of discernment, first layer is the Word of God. Second layer is your knower will just tell you whether somebody is right or somebody is wrong. You ever turn on Christian TV before and you went, ooh. You're not sure why. You don't really see anything bad. You just don't. You know, you get around a believer and you just go, okay, let's move on. You just know something's not right. That's your discernment. That's the second layer, knowing what some spirit somebody is of. A positive one is this. In John chapter 1, verse 47 and 48. Again, these are the gifts of the Spirit. Now, one of the things I do want to show you is all the gifts of the Spirit will go just like this. You will never see one gift of the Spirit working alone. They all work together. But you got to know what they are alone so you can see them working together. Let me show you two of them working together right here. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." So what is that? A bit of someone's past and or present. So Jesus moved in the word of. That was a good burp. I'm not a salad guy. I'm just trying to get healthy. Salad makes me. So here what we see is, I'm sorry, I just had to confess that. I don't know if you felt anything in the spirit. So what you see is the word of knowledge. Jesus saw him under the fig tree before his brother came to him. And then you saw discernment. Here comes a man with no guile, no deceit in his life. So he saw him under the tree, but yet he saw his character before he ever met him. That's discernment. Another negative one. Luke chapter 9, verse 54 through 56. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" And Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Had a friend of mine was out to eat with an evangelist, and they're sitting at a table at a restaurant, and all of a sudden, the evangelist looked at him, hit his leg, and said, "Hey, watch this." He didn't say anything else, just, "Hey, watch this." Across the restaurant, there was a man and a friend sitting together, and all of a sudden, one of the men started getting extremely agitated. I'm talking like pounding a table, getting mad. You could hear rage start to rise up. All of a sudden, he jumped up out of his booth. He ran over to the evangelist. And the evangelist said, "Shut up, go sit down in Jesus' name." What it was is the man was demon-possessed, and the spirit recognized his spirit and tried to intimidate the spirit of God that was in him. But he knew before he ever jumped out of that booth what was going to happen. Isn't that cool? How do you know that? It's your knower. That's right. That's why if you're not aware of your spiritual senses, you will never pay attention. You'll think it's just you. And sometimes it might be just you. Sometimes you had bad pizza. But you'll never know whether it's bad pizza or the Spirit of God until you test it out. So it's okay to make mistakes, as long as they're not big mistakes. Listen, one day an evangelist was in a church. And he walked up to this guy and said, "Thus saith the Lord, thou art called to Africa. The Lord has sent to thee amongst the tribes to reach them for the lost." The man sold everything. Went to Africa. Lost everything. Because he wasn't called to Africa. So we did try this at Bible school with a young man. We waited for him to go to sleep. And we got under his bed. And we went, "Go to Africa." We really tried to sound godly. "Go to Africa." And then he hit me. Yeah, it wasn't good. Okay. The third level of discerning of spirits is different. So the first layer of discerning of spirits is the Word of God. Second layer of discerning of spirits is your knower. You know what spirit somebody is of. The spirit of man, the spirit of God, or a demonic spirit. The third level of discerning of spirits, very few people have. Those that have it usually beg to have it gone. This layer of discerning of spirits is one where you can actually physically see in the spirit realm. I've only known two people that have actually lived there. Like they literally, that they see angels all the time. Like if, I remember one time I was in my office. Anybody ever heard of Katie Souza? Katie Souza, powerful woman of the spirit. Her keyboardist lived in that realm. And so this church has always been overwhelmingly blessed with the presence of God. But we pray a lot. So we're in the office one day. Katie Souza was there, the keyboardist was there, and a few other folks were there. And I was sitting on the edge of my desk. She says, "He's right there." I said, "Huh?" She said, "Jesus is literally standing right next to you." And all of a sudden the hair went. I mean, every hair went up. Like it's going up right now. And she said, "I've never seen so many angels in a church before in my entire life." She said, "They're literally lined up like balcony all along this church." She says, "You guys pray a lot, don't you?" I said, "We do. We have a lot of prayer meetings. We have a prayer team that seek God. I mean, they fast, they pray." I said, "We do fasting and praying every year." And I started getting into the lake. She says, "It's evident." She said, "Because these angels are just so comfortable in this house. Lined with angels. I don't care whether anybody believed me or not. I just knew that I knew that I knew." She was not kidding. She was not playing. One time I'm in the service, right, with this evangelist, and I'm learning this stuff, you know, because you got to learn. I mean, if you never start, you never get anywhere. So I'm learning how to pay attention to the spiritual senses that God's given us. And he looked at me and he goes, do you want to see this? Watch this. So the moving of the Spirit at that moment was people were just laughing in the Spirit. I'm talking like if you've never seen people laughing in the Spirit, it's really different. Laughing in the Spirit is where my wife didn't believe in this stuff. You know, she didn't believe in laughing in the Spirit at all. She had never heard of it before. She was brought up in a kind of a dry church too, and Pentecostally dry church. And so all of a sudden she's 8.5 months pregnant, and we're up in Dryden, and the Spirit of God hit her with this joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And she just started laughing and laughing. 45 minutes, uncontrollable laughing. And you know it's God. You know how I know it's God? She never peed herself. Any lady 8.5 months pregnant, you know. I mean, 45 minutes. And she was so happy for days. I wanted her to laugh in the Spirit more and more and more, you know. So the man, you know, this is what's happening. People, you know, are laughing in the Spirit, and God is just filling everybody with joy. And he walked over to me. He goes, "Now watch." And he's whispering to me. No one else can hear. He says, "Watch. There's getting ready to be a shift in the Spirit." Within 30 seconds, boom, everyone stopped laughing, and the place went absolutely quiet. Enough you could drop a pen, you would have heard it. And he said, "Now watch." Many of you have never seen or never heard the angels. He said, "I'm going to show you this." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, the angels have been sent to serve the saints. So he said, "Angels, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go." And he sent them on a mission. And you literally heard them moving out of the congregation. You might say, "Oh, I don't know." Well, I was down at Rodney Howard Brown's one time, back in 1994 or 93, down at the Carpenter's Church, it sat 11,000 people. It was absolutely stacked full. Around the sanctuary was 1 mile. To go around the sanctuary was 1 mile. So here we are in this service, and all the anointing just got so strong. And then everyone went quiet. 11,000 people. All of a sudden, you started hearing the singing. Angels started singing. I was with Rodney Howard Brown, I don't know how many years ago, just probably 4 or 5 years ago. We were up in his office and having supper. And I said, "I was in a service back in the early 90s where the angels sang." He goes, "We have audio of that and video of that." He said, "Someone go get that for him." They actually captured it. If you want to YouTube it, it's called Sweet Presence of Jesus. It's right on YouTube. And listen, I'm not just talking. I'm talking. This is real. Now, the man that I knew that had this gift was a man that was in Bible school. His room was right next to mine. He was older. And before he went to our Bible school, he was actually a Catholic and had gone to the monastery. When he walked into the monastery, they divvied him out whose turn it was. And he was used in homosexuality. Also, while he was there, what they were doing was they were teaching him transcendental meditation. They were teaching him out-of-body experiences, astral projection. He had been in China multiple times in the spirit where he could tell you exactly what was happening, where people were. I mean, he's literally time-traveled, the whole thing. You don't think those things are real? They're extremely real because the things of the spirit are more real than the things of the flesh. Well, he got saved, got delivered, came to Bible school. Here he is, man. He's his room's next to mine. And one day we're eating down at the dining room. Now, I went to a Bible school that was kind of old-fashioned. The girls sat on one side, the boys sat on the other side. So the boys had to pull the chairs out for the women. It was old school. And so, you know, we pulled the chairs out. Well, that day was a little bit different because we had visiting pastors. So here, I'm sitting next to this guy. He's sitting here, I'm sitting here. And across from us was this pastor. And this pastor's talking to us all through the meal. And my spirit's just, something's not right, something's not right. Don't know what it is, just something's not right. Later on, I said to him, dude, did you feel the same thing I did? He goes, oh, you couldn't see it, huh? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there was an actual demon sitting on his shoulder. And everything that this man said, the demon whispered in his ear. This guy saw these things in the spirit all the time. One day, he's sitting in chapel, and all of a sudden, he saw three beautiful angels come out. And they were showing how beautiful they were. And the Holy Spirit said, test the spirits, because no angel will ever bring glory to themselves. He said, are you from God or not? And all of a sudden, their beauty melted off, and they were three demon spirits. There was a girl who was praying. She was praying to see these things too. It was a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Now, like I said, girls were on one side of the church, guys were on the other side of the church. She was on the front row. Now, I'll never forget this because it made the hair in my ears curl. All of a sudden, this most blood-curdling scream came out of her gut. It didn't come out of her throat, it came out of her gut. Stop! I don't want to see anymore. She'd been praying to see in the spirit like that. And all of a sudden, Jesus showed her the bellows of hell and the demons that were standing around grabbing people. And she begged God not to ever see that again. There are people that see in the spirit constantly. That's all they see. They're very rare. But then there are people that will see glimpses of Jesus, see glimpses of Christ in a service. I've watched Jesus literally walk down this aisle and touch three people before, right on that one side. I got up and I said, Jesus just touched, boom, boom, boom. I watched him. But I don't live in that realm. I've seen demons before. I have had demons literally sit on my chest and try to choke me before in the middle of the night. Listen, one thing you'll know about me, I don't fake no crap. I don't have to. I've never been fake, never been farce, never twisted. I don't need to. If it's not true, you'll never hear it come out of my mouth. I watched a demon literally one morning. It was like 3 a.m. All of a sudden, I looked up and I saw a demon standing over in the corner of my bedroom. And he was just peering. I says, dude, you know, you don't belong here. In the name of Jesus, get out of my room. Get out of my house. My daughter Corinne one day was visiting a friend who I just saw today. This was back when she was in high school. I think she was like only in ninth grade. The brother had been playing with witchcraft. At 3 a.m, she saw the demon spirit, and then the demon walked over and touched her. called me freaking out, come get me now. Demons are real. So this realm of discerning of spirits is very rare that somebody lives in. Most people get glimpses of. How many here have ever seen a demon? One, two, three, ma? Wasn't me, right? She did cast a demon out of me. Many people don't know this, but I was demon-possessed at about 4 or 5 years old. I was in our home church in Gardner, Massachusetts. There was a woman with salt and pepper hair was standing next to me. I can tell you exactly how it happened. Standing next to me. The pastor cast a demon out of her. That demon went right into me. I had from that night forward what we would call scream dreams at 11 o'clock at night and at 1 o'clock in the morning. Every night I was up screaming. I knew what I was doing. Every one of those dreams started with snakes and scorpions crawling up my chest, and when they touched my face, that's when I would snap. I would scream. My father punched me in the face one time. I'm not lying. It was in the bedroom. My nose. Punched me in the face one time trying to wake me up. No waking up. I used to look at him and say, God, don't let him get me. Don't let him get me. Ran down the road trying to escape. All this other stuff. One day, I believe I was 10 or 11 years old. We were downstairs in the living room. I can remember it. I was sitting on the couch in a fetal position with my knees up into my chest, arms wrapped around my legs, screaming for help. Because in not this realm, but in this realm, in the spirit realm, I was on one of those spirals that kept getting closer and closer and closer, but never ended. It kept going and going and going. And my mother, for whatever reason, she'd been going through this since I was 4 or 5 years old. For 4 or 5 years, she'd never done this, but she was sick of it. And she finally said, come out in the name of Jesus. I fell dead like I was dead right on the floor. Boom. My mother thought she killed me. And when I got up, I never had another dream. So this stuff's real to me. You know, like when someone talks about demon possession, that stuff's that's real to me. I experienced it. So all of these things, these levels of discerning of spirits are important for you to understand. So there's three layers of discerning of spirits. The first layer is Word of God. Anybody tells you anything and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's automatic discernment. You know they're full of baloney. Amen? Number two, the second layer of discerning of spirits is what? Knowing what spirit somebody is of. Spirit of flesh, spirit of God, or demonic. Very good. Third level of discerning of spirits is when someone can actually see in the spirit realm. Some live there, very few live there, but God will give you a revelation at times of the demons where you will actually be able to see a demon and or an angel. So be prepared for that. That's not an abnormal event. You prefer the angel, amen. Anybody have questions concerning the... Anybody have questions concerning discerning of spirits? Yes, we have a microphone. Mr. Microphone is coming. We only do microphones simply because they're online. They can't hear a word. They just hear me going.
So when you would see, like, angels or demons in the spirit, do they look like us, like full, or are they more, like, transparent?
They look very much like a normal human, just much larger. Demons don't, though. Demons are really nasty. They really are. The one I saw, you know, especially the one that was leaning over in the corner of my bedroom, he was very, very dark. And just, you could just feel the evil. Just sense the evil. So there are other people that have actually seen far more detail than I've ever seen. I have not seen a lot of detail. When I've seen Jesus, I didn't see his face both times. The time with the worship leader. And then the time I'm talking about where he touched three people here. Many times you'll see me up on the altar. I don't know, are you on the camera? I'll give you a little hint what I do. You usually see me turned while worship is going on, and I'm just like this. Usually I'm asking Jesus, where are you? Where are you in the room? I want to see you in the room. I might not see him in like the spirit realm like that, but I'll know where he is. I'll know what he's doing. And so you'll see me usually move in a direction. If I'm coming off the pulpit to pray for somebody, it's because I'm watching Jesus going over to them. And I want to participate. So those are the things that you'll see me doing up around the altar. If you see me around praying for people, there are many times I'm just watching. I'm just waiting to see, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. I want to see what God wants to show me so I can minister to them and also have Christ touch them. So all of this is stuff you learn, you grow in. But if you're never aware, you can't grow. So you have how many senses in the spirit? Six. And they're more real than your five physical. Your physical can leave. Your physical senses can leave. Your spiritual senses can only become dull. Yep. All questions are good. Run. This is a weight loss program tonight.
So does everyone have use of all six of their spiritual senses?
Yes. You'll also find that there are people that, the gifts of God without repentance, there are psychics, fortune tellers. There are all those different demonic activities where they actually do see in the spirit too. Yeah. They can't see in the future. They'll guess the future. But a demon, Satan himself, does not know future. He only knows present and or past. So like people say they go to psychics and they're very real. Of course they're real. Demons know what you're doing. They watch you all the time. They talk amongst each other. They'll definitely talk to somebody to convince you that you need them. So, yes. Great questions. Anybody else? I see one.
I can't tell if this is a silly question or not.
There are none.
Other than being aware of your spiritual senses, becoming aware, how would you grow your awareness?
Asking the Holy Spirit. It is that simple. Because the tutor or the teacher is the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Inside of you. Spirit of God, I want to become more sensitive in my spirit man. I need you to teach me. And he will. He'll start teaching. It will always line up with the word. You know, that's when you know somebody's getting spooky. Schwack. It's really that easy, and it doesn't need to be difficult. Hold on, microphone. You gotta have a microphone.
I don't have a question. I have a
statement.
It could be a question if you want it.
You have a questionable statement?
Yeah. Last night, in the middle of the night, I was sitting at a table or a bar or whatever it was. There were three of us, one on each side of me. And the guy on the left said to me, "Harold, do you believe in spirits?" I said, "Yeah, they're more real than you are." Yeah. And the guy on the right says, "Well, tell Harold what you told me." And that was
the end of the dream? Well, that means your spirit man was working, because you need to realize your spirit man doesn't sleep. Spirit man doesn't sleep. Your physical body sleeps, but your spirit doesn't sleep. The Bible? Yeah. There you go. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop you because I want to say this, and I need you to correct me if I'm wrong. You have grown more here in the last, how many years you've been here now?
3, 5.
In the last 3 years than how many years combined? So spiritually, you've been in church how many years? You've been born again 50 years. He's grown more in the Lord the last 3 years since he's been here, because we do what? We push word. We push word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Get the word in you. The more word you get in you, the more your spirit will become sensitive. The more word we get in you, the easier it is to be able to discern the spirits. Hold on. Well, they've known me a long time. Uncle Harold spanked me before, so.
Yeah, my wife and I, we discuss you a lot, how blessed we are to be in this church with your teaching. And I told my wife just a week ago, I said, you know, my son doesn't realize the nuggets that he got from the pastor when the pastor was working with him. And I'll tell you, you got more knowledge than most pastors that I've ever, more than any of them I've ever sat under, ever.
And I've studied to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, so I could rightly divide the word of truth.
And we appreciate you, Pastor.
Thank you. It's an honor to serve. Somebody else got a question? Because we're going to end. We didn't get far. Thank you. Thank you. And really, you know, honestly, I don't feel any different than when we were five people. Because this is not about me. This is about God. And the great part about that is I get the fun. I mean, let's be honest, man. Ministry is fun. I get to have a great time watching God change people. What greater fun is that? It's not fun when you get hurt, they beat you up, they spit on you, kick you three times, and punch you in the eyeball. But other than that, just because I'm cute. Spitting all over the place. He couldn't hit anybody if he wanted to. There's too much of a distance between them. They got 30,000 member church, man, right there. Powerful church. We have a question.
Yes. So do we have all of the gifts, or does everyone have certain gifts and that's what they work in?
You'll find that all nine gifts dwell in you, and why? Who dwells inside of you? Who's the giver of the gifts? So if the giver of the gifts dwells inside of you, how many gifts are available to you? All of them. You will find that you'll move usually in what you're around the most. So we're not a really strong prophetic church. There are churches that we call prophetic churches, and you'll hear prophecy every single week. You'll see the prophetic moving every single week. We're not a strong prophetic church. We're more of a word of knowledge, gifts of healing, working of miracle church. Now, not that we don't prophesy. I think it was a month ago I prophesied. But most of the time, I don't move in that gift. It's just not one that I was around a lot. So what you're around a lot is what usually starts stirring in you the quickest, because you're seeing it moving in your life more. Any other questions? Yes. Hold on. Got a microphone. Mr. Microphone.
So if we can tell the spirit of somebody, how come unbelievers who don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them can sense that something's different about us if they don't have the same gift we do?
They will have an intuition, but not the moving of the Holy Spirit. So there is a difference. Some people just have intuition. You know, some people are keener than others. But they don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't dwell if they're not born again. So a born-again person has cutting edge over everybody. That's the best part. Like when you're praying about business and you're praying about decisions, you have inside trading. God knows the end from the beginning. Talk to him. He'll direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I mean, you got inside trading. You got it made. Anybody else? It is 8:45 already. Isn't it hard to believe? Look, everybody's looking at their watch. I'm lying. I'm sorry. Another prophet lie in the same service. Glory to God. Prophet lie. All right. We'll pick up next week. We're going to try to get through next week, okay? Don't stop me. Okay? All right, let's all stand. Want to remind everybody, you always bring a gift to the king's house. I want to challenge you. If you're not a tither, I'm believing God that this house will be 100% tithing. I think we're at 12 or 13% tithers. I'm believing God for 100% tithers in this church. Amen. I sat down this week and pulled out the building plans. Many of you don't know, but the building plans for the new building have already been drawn. They were drawn back when this building was erected. And sat with an engineer this week. We're already starting to get the plans for the next building. We're going to put down some blocks. Well, why? I don't know. Were you in first service on Sunday morning? If you were in second, you saw a little bit less people, which means you got work to do if you're a second service person. But first service, we were getting ready to add chairs. It was packed right out. You come to both, huh? No more room in the parking lot. Amen. We're in a good spot. We're going to keep growing, keep reaching people with Jesus. How many people were saved on Sunday? 6 people gave their heart to the Lord this Sunday morning. And then how many in Ithaca? 3 in Ithaca. 9 people gave their hearts to the Lord this week alone at His Tabernacle Family Church. Amen. That is awesome. Baptized. What's that? 3 in youth group. So that's 12 people born again. Amen. I don't know about any of the other ministries. I didn't get the children's ministry this week. But 12 people born again at His Tabernacle Family Church this week alone. How many were baptized in Ithaca? 10 baptized in Ithaca, 25 baptized here. That's awesome, isn't it? So I'm just believing God to continue to grow, see more people saved, healed, delivered, and you're a big part of that. So, amen. Well, they're going to have to add. Going to have to add. Because this will be a Christian school. We need to put a Christian school up because they've closed the last Pentecostal Christian school. We need a Christian school. We also will be putting in a preschool and a daycare, as well as this will be the youth room. Pastor Cody and the Awaken group will be filling this room here. And then all the classrooms will be filled with babies and children, and we're going to be raising up the next generation to take over this church. Amen? And then we'll be in that next building. We're only going to build for 900 so that we can have multiple services. We're going to have probably 3 services on a Sunday. As the church continues to grow. And we're just going to take Mexico, glory to God. Talk to our pastors down there today. We're going to take Mexico. We're already in Campeche. A new evangelist just came on scene and wants to help grow the church down there. They're getting ready to do a youth conference. Merida just invited us to come down in Merida. We have a pastor down there who oversees over 400 churches. He just asked Cody and I to come down and preach at their church. They have over 1,000 people in their church. He's one of the most influential pastors in that entire city. So His Tabernacle Family Church is not just here. Where my wife is in South Africa right now, they're requesting us to come back over and do more work there for them. My wife just got an invitation to Cyprus, so in Greece. And so we're seeing His Tabernacle literally planting all over. We have a church, many of you don't know. We have a pastor that sits under us in Canada now, a pastor that sits under us in Kentucky now. We have pastors all across the United States. Just got another note today from a pastor up in upstate New York who said, we are going where you're going in the spirit. We want what you got as a church. So we need to know that this is not a little movement. God is really doing great things in this house, and we get to participate. All of that was for free, and I just wanted to let you know how powerful that was. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in your gifts. Thank you for loving people, letting people see you love them through the tangible evidence of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that in church, Lord, there'll be more activity in the Spirit. God, we want to see more gifts activated, not just in us, but in all of us. Lord, in every one of us in this room to be used in the gifts of the Spirit every single day of the week, at home, at work, and at play, that God, you will show people how much you love them. Bless the offering. We just want to say we love you, we thank you, and we need you. Amen. Break. Oh, that's football season.